It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much more. More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more. And it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me.
Wide, oh, the DC swamp is deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, oh, the DC swamp is deep and wide. And it's so slimy, oh, so slimy. It's so slimy, oh, so slimy. Deep and wide. Deep and wide, oh, the DC swamp is deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, oh, the DC swamp is deep and wide.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
Come on.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international depression.
Come on, man. Come on.
True international depression.
Come on, man. China is going to eat our lunch. Come on, man.
Not a joke.
By the way, all you teachers out there, not that many of you are going to die, so don't worry about it. So don't worry about it. Come on.
Because I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Nancy's going to jail. Nancy is going to jail.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nancy is going to jail.
Not a joke.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
I would come to him and punch him out. This is
oh,
my
mom. I would pay to see that.
I'm waiting for this, for trespassing on the
trespassing.
I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
We'll all be happy, Nancy.
Are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people, who ultimately get infected.
It's the old nasal thing.
They are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection to uninfected individuals. And the data that they reported indicates that if you look at the level a virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and has a breakthrough infection and
breakthrough
compare
news.
That to the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person who's infected, they're essentially equivalent.
Because the vaccine didn't do anything. It wasn't a vaccine.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Well, we're just going to fade into it here this morning. This is, it's, Yeah, we're live. Hey, we're live. It's Wednesday. We're live. It's the live Wednesday show. A little bit, so I guess, what time? We'll get into it in just a minute after this brief message. It's the news, according to me. It is Wednesday, May 6th, 9/11. Interestingly enough, AM Eastern Standard Time. 2026. What are we about? Almost halfway through May already. No, I guess first week of May. I guess it's, yeah. There we go. We're only first week of May. First full week of May we're in here, into here. We got some things happening. We got lots of things going on politically. There's some things, interesting things happening in Indiana last night. We are live, by the way, on Podbean right now. This is probably going to be the last live show on Podbean. I don't think that there's going to be any more opportunity to do this. Next week, if I try to do it, I don't think we're going to get away because it's going to be 7:14. Yeah. I don't think we're going to be able to, we'll see how it all works out. I may be one of the last. If I can get one more in, we may do that before they stop doing live transmissions on Podbean. We'll have to see how that goes. In my cup this morning, I'm not a coffee drinker, but you're welcome to drink coffee and listen to the show if you'd like to. I'm okay with that. Just don't spill any. This chair is really getting creaky. Like, I'm barely moving and things creaking around. Maybe it's my back. Maybe it's me. I have some chai here with the last of the Cinnabon creamer. So the next creamer is tomorrow morning. Creamer is going to be something different than Cinnabon. But unless it is Cinnabon again, I might go through a whole other cycle of Cinnabon. Won't get through it quite as quickly though, because I'm going to be on the road part of the weeks, weeks ahead. Most of my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are going to be home studio stuff. I'm going to be home through most of the weeks. My Fridays are when I'm going to be gone. I typically leave on Thursdays throughout the whole month of May. So we'll see how that works. In my backup cup, I still have sweet peach tea. It's very, very, it's a lovely blend of sweet tea and peaches. Real fresh peaches. Now, you might hear the dogs in the background. Unfortunately, it's a live day, of course, and they're going to probably be involved in some of the festivities, as they call it, here at the household. I have to keep an eye on it. I'm not expecting any packages today, but it seems as if they've been barking. There's a cat that's been hanging around the front of the house. It occasionally apparently makes some noises. I think he or she, I'm not sure whether it is I think it's out there on the porch right now. We have these bird feeders, and there's this one little cat. It's kind of a cream colored cat. I think it's got little brown paws or something. It's a fairly good sized cat. Not as big as ours. Our male cat. We have a little female cat that's about half the size of our full size big cat. You would think he would be. He's practically a, what you call him? What do they call those? I don't know what it's called. Anyway, not a meerkat. What is it? What is a good thing called? Anyway, the mancoon. It's a mancoon. He's that size. He does have a little bit of an M on his forehead. So he's got a little bit of that in him. But this cat that's been hanging around. It typically kind of basically lives here. We saw it coming down. The driveway this morning. The dogs didn't see it. Fortunately, I had them out back. If they see the cat, then they kind of go nuts. But there's this little lawnmower. I had to put a little cushion on the lawnmower, a little towel, because I keep my lawnmower covered up. It's under cover. I cover the seat area, and then I also put a bigger cover over the whole thing. He likes to crawl up. He or she, I don't know if it's a he. Or, I think it's a he. He likes to crawl up in there and sleep. Apparently, it's a nice dry place for him to hang out. And usually the dogs don't mess with him too much there until I go to mow. And then, of course, I start pulling the cover off and he runs out. Or sometimes he just runs out because he thinks the dogs are sniffing around out there. I think they smell him sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, that's what happens there. We have a few things coming up. We're going to talk about the election results in Indiana. Interesting stuff that happened last night. I believe there were eight seats up, eight or nine, maybe it was 10. No, maybe it might have been 11, actually. 11 seats were up for representations, state and in the state. It's just kind of interesting situation as to what happened last night. Now, Governor Braun, I think he's still in for, I don't think he's up for election this year. I think it's a six-year term, I'm not positive. But he was a senator for a while, did some things. I sent him a nasty letter at one point because of what happened during the 2020 election. And I was not happy with him. I didn't care much about his, whether he won again or not. I really didn't. I don't think I voted I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote against him either, but I did not place a vote for him in the next elections after the 2020 elections, 22, whenever it was, he was up for election. And of course, I think he lost. Or maybe he resigned. I can't remember if he stepped out of it or not. I think he knew he was going to lose because of what he did during the 2020 election issue. And it came back to be the governor. He ended up becoming governor of Indiana. And I don't know what part he played. I do know that he is a little bit chummy with Mike Pence. Now, I have met Mike Pence personally. We did not talk politics when I met with him. It was kind of a casual meeting. Me and a group of my employees were had a chance to chat with him a little bit. Talked to him about his son. He was very. He's not a bad man. He's not a bad person. He's just ideologically we disagree, and I would just probably have to say. The one thing I do appreciate about the man is he's extremely highly pro-life. On that, we do agree, and I think that we have common ground there. But when it comes to the role of conservatism in conservative politics and understanding some things about President Trump. Now he's of course he's worked with the guy. But there were ulterior motives in what he was doing in there. It's so obvious for me to see that. It's Mike Pence wants to be president. Still wants to be president. He's been laying low. I believe there's this. You may see him pop out of the woodwork here after 2026, after the 2026 elections. I think. Right as soon as about the time 2027 rolls around, you may see Mike Pence roll back into the political sphere. I believe he's going to make a run for president, and that's just my opinion. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a political analyst, I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm none of that stuff. So this is just for entertainment purposes only, in case you're wondering. We're live in the chat. I can't see the chat. I can see the chat right now. I got it set up so I can see it right now. If anybody happens to pop in the room and make any comments, a lot of times people just pop in and they love the show and then they leave. So nice people do that, but they don't say much usually until the end of it. But I do appreciate people stopping and listening. That's what we're going to get into a little bit about some of the things that are happening politically in Indiana as well as around the country. I'll talk a little bit about some things that Jasmine Crockett said a while back. I can't find the clip. I know I saw this and I think it was just yesterday I watched this and I can't find it. I haven't watched that many videos since yesterday and I can't find it. It's probably buried within something. I know DeVore Darkins, he has a tendency to have like longer shows. They're 30 minutes long. He covers a lot of different topics. Probably listened to his show at some point, maybe while I was out working on something outside and something she said. And there were two things right in a row because I listened to something else. It was either a short or his show. Two things that people said. One of them was, I know one of them was Jasmine Crockett. The other one, I can't remember what what context was. I think it was the whole thing going on in Ohio with I think it's a Walgreens or something pulling out of a particular neighborhood. And the local, I thought it was in Ohio. I mean, it's Columbus, I think. I can't remember where it's at for sure. Maybe Cincinnati. They're pulling out of a particular neighborhood somewhere. And local townspeople are all upset that they're pulling the store out. We'll get into that. But anyway, we're going to talk about some of that kind of stuff. In the meantime, to go ahead and heat up your coffee or whatever you got to do there and sit back, relax, and step into, let's just enjoy the show, I guess.
It's the news. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. It's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah. Hey, it is the news, according to me, moi, me, not you, me. But I want to know I'm going to share what I think, and then I want to share what you think about what I think. You can just do that. If you want to call the show, by the way, there's another little ditty here. We'll just play this one right now, just for the heck of it.
Ooh, yeah.
Notice the common theme here.
Five, seven, four. But wait, there's more. 651. We're almost done. 76 and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
That's some lyrical genius right there. I don't know who wrote that song, but they really deserve like an Emmy or something, some kind of an award. A couple other songs coming up during this. This is going to be a fairly long live show. It might be an almost an hour long if you include all the intro stuff. Planning on having this one go a little bit longer because we just got a lot of things to talk about. And if anybody, hopefully somebody will jump into the chat room here, we can have a discussion as well. But so today's show, yesterday's election. Interesting things happen. Now, I was able to finally get out and vote, got that done. I didn't work that hard yesterday. I didn't think, and I fell asleep fairly early. I even forgot to take my vitamins. I've got evening vitamins and morning vitamins I take, and woke up this morning and realized, hey, I did wake up about 2:30 in the morning, which is all well and good because that, you know, I can play stuff. I usually set up a queue with some videos that are like boring, just droning on, like comedians or something like that. I'll just kind of sit there and listen to it, which kind of puts me to sleep. I'll kind of fall asleep laughing, you know. As long as they're not vulgar, vulgarity just it doesn't. I can't fall asleep to that. I don't know why. It doesn't relax me at all. If I'm hearing somebody just cussing and swearing, I can't. But so I have to find, you know, Dry Bar Comedy is usually pretty good. They get pretty good stuff on there. I usually find something on there, like an hour-long special or something. That usually puts me to sleep. And if I do happen to wake up a little bit during it, I'll catch a joke or two here and there. Anyway, so last night, I fell asleep. But I was out doing quite a bit of work outside, which is, you know, wasn't terribly a large amount. I mean, I did walk the dogs and do some other things. It was kind of cold out though. That might have kind of sapped some of my energy maybe out of me. However, the point I'm trying to make here, by the way, the AI callers, I know I said something about last week about having that all fixed up. That's going to be fixed up. It is in the process of getting done. Apologize for the dogs barking again. I'm going to try to get an agent some agents working, agentic AI agents working, that will kind of help with the whole process of the, and again, the dogs are, I don't know what they're barking at. I assume they're barking at the cat that's outside. It's typically what they're barking at. There's nobody delivering anything. They're just barking for the sake of barking. Could be that. Yeah, anyway. So it's very distracting. Sorry. What was I talking about? The AI callers, that whole program needs to be rebuilt and structured so that it actually works and works well. I do use Claude. However, there's been so many advances going back and forth with all this stuff. ChatGPT 5.5 has just come out. That combined with Codex is apparently now outshining Claude Code in a lot of ways. Claude Code is a little bit more complicated to use. But I'm gonna try to dive into that here in the next couple of days. That's one of the projects I'm gonna be working on over the next few days, over the weekend especially, and see how that goes. I've got a lot of things to finish up here at the house over the next couple of days, but just today, and I gotta take off tomorrow afternoon. So there's a lot going on with that. So I'm not exactly sure how soon the agentic call-in people, that whole program is going to be finished up. I'm hoping to have it done this weekend for next week's show. I'm going to hopefully have it done for Monday, and I'll be testing it out again. So we'll have some of that kind of fun type stuff happening. Other than that, so this election happens. And yesterday, now there was something, a little event that took place. It was about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, maybe. Maybe it wasn't even that long ago. It may have been within the last 6 months. The redistricting thing that was going on down in Texas, and of course some other states that were doing the same kind of thing. Well, there's a lot of Republican rhinos here in Indiana, believe it or not, and it's been hard to weed them out because there typically is a pretty hardcore establishment Republican group here in Indiana. I'm afraid it's mostly in the northern part of Indiana, which is the part I'm in. They're very, very establishment Republicans. And they've been, in my opinion, they've been fooled by the establishment. They think that they're, and a lot of them are, I would say, more religious crowd type people. And they just don't recognize there are certain issues they believe in. There are certain things, and they're just dyed in the wool kind of Republican, diehards. And they don't see it any other way. Now, I'm more of a libertarian, conservative libertarian than I am a Republican, I would say. But the Republican Party is more in line with what my values are, and has supposedly. But politically, they are the opposite. In my opinion, the establishment Republicans, the rhinos, as I would call them, just use those points to get into office. They use those. That once they get into office, they won't be proactive. They don't like to be too far on the cutting edge because they're trying to protect their power. They're the same kind of power issues that a lot of the Democrats have. They want to maintain their career in politics, and they get a good job. They want to keep it. They don't want to lose their job because they want to stay in office, and they don't care about just doing what's right, representing people. They like the power. They like to have the office. They like to have the little. What do you say? The little rubs that they get from all the influence that they have in the state house, and then of course that people in industry, people with money, people of means, tend to chummy up to them. And by chumming up, I mean they line their pockets. Now, I'm not saying that they do that. I just happen to have a suspicion that it's going on. I don't have any evidence of any of that. But, I know. I know what's what goes on behind the scenes. I know how people are. Let's just put it that way. And it's a whole lot of, and I've seen it firsthand. It's one of those things where it's the evidence of things unseen. You didn't see what was going on, but you saw the evidence of what was going on. There was a particular industry in this state, particular business that was growing business, a growing market in this state. My nephew had something to do with it. He was starting a business, doing something with that particular industry. And right in the middle of it, all of a sudden this legislation pops out, and it had all kinds of bias towards a particular supplier, particular industry, particular marketer in the state of Indiana. And the rules that they put in place pretty much doused all the competition except for this one particular vendor. It totally eliminated, almost overnight, eliminated almost all of the other vendors, all the other marketers, the people that were trying to get into this market. And of course, that vendor now owns almost every label there is out there, every name, every storefront you see that has that particular business is probably owned by that particular company, because there was just no way anybody can compete with it. So this came in, they bought up all the other businesses. And so it's kind of you talk about monopoly. It was a ridiculous thing, but it was such a small scale that the SEC didn't get involved in it. Nobody got involved in it because it was just such a small scale deal. But obviously behind the scenes, it was all set up legislatively. The legislation was obviously drawn up favoring this particular company. And it was too obvious to me. Nobody in the state noticed it. Nobody, because people who aren't involved in it, people who weren't up to their elbows in it, didn't notice what was going on. But it was pretty obvious to us what had just happened. I mean, the rug got pulled out from under us, and I was trying to help him with the business, and it was failed. Very, very disturbing. Very, very frustrating, and it frustrated him to the point. It just really sent him down a dark hole. But anyway, he was looking to maybe go to Ohio or go to Michigan get across the state line somehow to get to start up another business. Of course, that has all kinds of other issues when you start operating across state lines like that. So that was kind of that became a problem. But anyway, it was just very frustrating. So I know that kind of thing happens. Now, what ended up happening with this whole gerrymandering thing? There was this push to get Indiana, and Donald Trump wanted Indiana to redistrict and redraw the lines in the state of Indiana. And the rhinos in charge of it said, "Oh no, we're Hoosiers." I don't know. Define what a Hoosier is. Tell me what a Hoosier is. It just means a person from Indiana. That's all it is. We're Hoosiers. We don't bow to anybody from the big. We don't listen to those feds. We make our own rules here, and we're independent, and we're sovereign here. We want to do our own thing. And these rhinos basically pushed back against it and voted against having the idea of having the lines redrawn. That's just not the way we do things here in Indiana. We're fair. We work with our constituents across the aisle. And blah, 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 blah. We want to have, folks, the Republicans have to realize, the establishment Republicans have to realize, they're not going to be in existence anymore. If you let the there's no Democrats around anymore. The Democrats have become a radical party. They are not the party of individual rights. They are the party of institutional power, and they will walk lockstep to maintain that institutional power. That's just all they are. That's who they are. You don't go against the party, or you get booted out. And it's you either align with it and you don't say anything bad about it, or you're out. You can't disagree. Look at John Fetterman. They want him out. They're trying to railroad him out of office. Only because he's 80% on board with pretty much the whole Democrat platform. But they will have nothing of it. If you're not a part of the communist, Democratic Socialist movement. And they talk about fighting fascism, we got to fight fascism. They're the ones who are all about compliance. You have to comply. You either have to go along with what we want or you're out. If you're a Republican, you're a fascist. Just regardless of, because they see group rights and special rights as a bigger deal than just rights, individual rights. They don't see individual rights. They don't want to see the rights of the individual. Oh, they'll pull up individuals. Oh, this poor lady was... But they won't. It's not about that. It's about the group rights. This lady is... She's a whatever. You know, they'll list off three or four different minority issues that she has, and then they'll go on about how the system is so racist against her and misogynist against her, xenophobic, or whatever it is. And then they'll use that as a lever, and that's how they identify the person, is by all those things. They don't identify the person by just who she is. She's just a person. They don't see it that way at all. So they latch onto that. They use these people to maintain their power. So that's just how they do it all the time. For example, we have this one lady who is a Congress individual who's under some fire right now because of some bad things that she's done. And we're going to get this little song about her. Let's just see what this has to say. Oh yeah, this one.
Ilhan is going to jail. Some people did something. Now Ilhan is going to jail. Ilhan is going to jail. Ilhan is going to jail. Some people did something. Now Ilhan is going to jail.
That lady right there. That's just to give you an example. I thought I had it must be on the, apparently that's, yeah, anyway.
What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, I thought I had her, that was at the other, that's at the worldwide headquarters machine has that particular thing. Her saying, some people did something. Anyway, so we have, These people here in Indiana that thought that they were going to just go get away with this whole thing, and they, we're not going to change our redistrict things. We're not until the census has been taken, all this stuff. The next time, you have to understand, the next time the Democrats get into power, and I mean power, that's what they see it as, power. Not when they become representatives, they see it as power, and they make this statement all the time. The next time we're in power. That word power is we're going to talk about that a little bit more as the day goes on, but it is something to be recognized because it is an issue, and they continue to use that word power. But so these Republicans, well, let's put, I think there was 11 of them. I think that was 11. Was that 11 of them that were up for office? Eight of which were the ones who voted against the whole redistricting act that they were going to do. Eight of them got voted out. Those eight got voted out. There's still one seat. I think it's going to go to a runoff. It's very close. It's extremely close. But basically, all but one. I can't remember if it's nine out of the, or eight out of the nine, or if there's 11 and there was one and there was. There were two that were, I can't remember. I think two retired. I think there was 11, two retired. There was two that got in basically because of that. and there's still one left. That's the way I think it is. I think eight of them were replaced that were running or trying to win. Eight of them got replaced by large margins. I think it was like 60% to 30%, something to that degree. It's like 2/3. I think that's an overall percentage, I believe. But there were two of them that had retired, so they kind of automatically got in. But they were MAGA representatives. And then there was one. There's still one left that's still fighting, has a fighting chance of winning. There's kind of probably going to be a runoff election now. And that's the thing. I think that the base right now, the MAGA base, if you want to call it that, I think is very energized. It's going to be very interesting. Now, if this all goes through and we're able to change this issue with the Supreme Court. Let's go to that whole thing now too. The Supreme Court has recently, it was an 8-1 ruling on the unconstitutionalness of drawing district lines based on race, which is what they've been doing. Of course, the Supreme Court ruled that unconstitutional, which that's very good. That's what they should have done. And of course, Ketanji Brown Jackson, I think it's Brown Jackson, I think that's her name. She decided she was going to have a dissent on that whole issue, and she wasn't going to vote for it. There's a reason. When Ketanji Brown, most of the Democrats who are on the, I should say the socialists that are on the Supreme Court, they are not constructionists. They are, I would say, the Democrats want to legislate from the bench. They don't want to see just see, here's the thing. The law is the law. It stands as it is. The legislature can change the law. They can make amendments. They can do whatever they need to do. That's on them politically to do that. And then the Supreme Court or the courts themselves are there to interpret the law, not to change or to litigate from the bench. Well, this is not what the people want. This is not what they can just, or this isn't moral. We can't do this. Or I disagree with this on a social construct. So I'm going to change this. We're not going to rule along this line. We're going to let these people go. We're going to do whatever. No, you break the law, and this is what the law says, and there's a statute. There's a whole thing of how much time that person either gets 5 to 7 years for committing such and such a crime. And then they just let them go. There's all kinds of loopholes, stipulations, all kinds of things. There is, among the Democrats, there are people running for office in certain districts in certain states who call themselves abolitionists. They had this problem with the prison industrial complex. And it has become a big business, by the way. There are actually businesses set up to, they're contracted by the states or by the Fed, whoever it is, to house and take care of, that they're under contract. They're subcontractors. They're not actual government entities that take care of prison systems. And so it's just this weird, some of them, you know, they actually own the property. Some of them don't. Some of them own, you know, the state will own or the county will own the jail. And they hire out the staffing, contract out the staffing. Sometimes it's that, sometimes it's actually the whole facility that some of these companies put up. And they do the imprisonment thing. And they call this abolition movement. There's these people are being, you know, a disproportionate number of people are being imprisoned. And it's just part of the moral decay of our society, in my opinion. But that's the cultural issue we have, that we have more people committing crimes. But that's a whole other ball of wax. We have, as this whole thing goes on, we continue to just go down the slippery slope of representatives who are fighting against accountability. They want to legislate from the bank, from the bench, from the bank, or from the bank. That's probably more bigger part of it. That's a Freudian slip there. They have on their behalf. They have Ketanji Brown Jackson is a one who was put in place to be a legislator from the bench to make moral judgments based on social societal ideology rather than what the law says. This is a problem. Justice should be blind, should not, and the law should be blind as well. It shouldn't be giving special rights or special latitude for certain individuals just based on the color of their skin or their race or whatever else it is. That's why I have such a hard time with hate crime laws. You commit a crime, you commit a crime. It doesn't matter whether it was a hate crime or not. If you assault someone, you assault someone. If you assault them, the reason you assault them is because you don't like the color of their skin. That you still assaulted them. That should be just convict them of the assault. You have the right to hate, by the way. I sadly to say, but you do have the right to do that. I hope you don't, but you have the right to. And you have the right to have freedom of speech. It's just part of the issue that we have. But that's the founders expected us to be a self-regulated society. They wanted us to be regulated from within, from a moral compass that was based on Judeo-Christian foundational beliefs and ideology. We're not a Christian nation, but the founding of our principles were largely based on the moral law of Judeo-Christian morality, I guess we're going to call it that. And that is not what the socialists want. The socialists believe, the democratic socialists, the communists, they basically want to say that the state has all the power. The state gives you your rights. We can take them away. We will determine who gets what rights, who gets special rights, that kind of thing. And they keep on going with that. They just keep doing it. And they want to legislate those rights from the bench. So the whole thing is falling apart for them right before their very eyes. At first they said, oh, this is no big deal when the Supreme Court ruling came down. They, within the first 24 hours, they said, oh, this is going to make any difference. Then you had people like Hakeem Jeffries were coming out and saying things like, well, we're going to, you know, F around and find out kind of thing, and talking about Florida, and you guys going to redistrict your. The problem with most blue states is that they've already gerrymandered almost everything. They've got themselves pretty much backed into a corner where they're, oh, we're going to do this too. Well, you've already done it. In most blue states, you're already there. There's not a whole lot you can do. The number of potential representatives that the GOP could gain, I think it's, last I heard, I think it was like 18, if I remember right. They could gain 18 seats in 2026 because of the redistricting that they're doing. And the redistricting they're doing is more of based on a fair, what I've seen anyway, it's based more on a fair just kind of county by county lines. They're not really drawing lines based on demographics with anything other than population. That's what I've seen, is it's population based. It is not based on, you know, well, where's the, you know, Martin Luther King Drive? We got to make sure we get that one in there, and that particular, you know, that's they're not doing that. Just being straight with you here, and that's the big problem they face right now. And of course, the Democrats are panicking because of this whole thing, and they're freaking out. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the hip hop artist AOC, she came out recently and was commenting about this and was saying something about how, well, they're just doing this now while they're in power. Just wait till we get in power. And this is a common theme among Democrats. They talk about being in power, because when they're in office, it is power. They want power. They don't want representation. They don't say when we become representatives. You never hear them say that. Jasmine Crockett, and this is the interview I was trying to find this morning. I was trying to find it. I actually was going to look for it last night because I just heard it yesterday. She was this being interviewed. This is right after right before the election. I think she got kind of booted out of the Senate race in Texas, and she was going over this whole. She was being interviewed by somebody. I can't remember who it was. And she said when she was in Congress, how she was one of 500 and something of the most powerful people in the nation and in the world among 500, the most powerful people. And she didn't have to take anything from this person. And she was, she was among this powerful group of individuals. And right there is your problem. Right there is the attitude that is the problem on Capitol Hill. We have power. We're the powerful ones. We have all this power. That is the problem right there. The word power is stuck in their heads. They will do anything to get power. They will lie, cheat, and steal. What election was it that Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House, and there were these promises made on the campaign trail, and a legacy media reporter asked her about this. She said, well, the campaign, there were promises made on the campaign. And they were talking about somebody else's campaign. It wasn't her campaign. And she, oh, well, that on the campaign trail, this people will say anything there. She was excusing her own party, people from her own party. Because they will. They'll say anything because they're trying to maintain power. And it's the power of the institution. It's all in for the party. It's about party politics and party power, because it's all about the institutions, the establishment. And right now, the Democrat establishment is in disarray and it's a mess. They'll never admit to it. There are people like Bill Maher and some others that are actually calling them out. Some people on the left starting to call them out. They're starting to get disgusted and just frustrated with this entire situation. Now, I would say that the right has moved to the left quite a bit under Trump. I would say to have pure conservative values. Trump is not a conservative in the same aspect that we would think of him. He's very, I would say, empathetic or sympathetic to conservative values in a large way. But he's a transactional person. He's a transactional guy. He does deals. I think at his core, he wants to do what's right. He wants to pull America back to more of a traditional, country the way we were, and not racially, just morally, ethically, just the way business is done, the way rights are perceived. I think in those kinds of traditional ways, that's what he's looking for. There's plenty of evidence out there that Trump is not a racist. He says things that upset people. Well, he said things about the Mexicans. They're all just coming here they're all just rapists. And you have to understand how Trump talks. He's not going to. How many years has he spent as a president? He's at least five. A little over 5 years that he's acted as a president. How many people have lost their rights? Now he's always talking about people on the left, they'll flip out every time that something happens. We lost all of our rights when the Supreme Court ruled against Roe v. Wade. You didn't lose any rights. The rights went back to the states. All what happened there was the federal government basically said, we're not going to these aren't rights that we're supposed to be in charge of. That's state level right stuff. That's all they said. And then the left's head popped off and said, "This is we're losing our rights." And of course, after the whole Voting Act thing, the Save America Act, they were, they're gonna take away our rights to vote. We're gonna lose our rights again. Our civil rights are, and of course, Sonny Houston, I had more rights growing up than my child is going to have. My child's going to have fewer rights than I had, civil rights. No, no. exactly what civil rights have you lost? Please explain to me. Is these civil rights that you're losing? All the violent rhetoric of this president. Okay, let's please explain. Can you please tell me, can you please give me some quotes or some video of him sharing violent rhetoric? Violent rhetoric is one thing, by the way. And then let's talk about how many assassination attempts there have been against Republican officials compared to the Democrat officials over the last, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, a couple hundred years. It doesn't matter how far back you go. It's almost always been Democrats assassinating or attempting to assassinate Republican presidents, officials, you name it. The violent protests that break out are typically not on the right. You don't see that happening with the Tea Party movement, for example, was the biggest thing that probably ever happened on the right. I think it was, when was it, 2010 or 2009? It was 2009. But those kind of broke out. Old folks standing around holding signs up about being taxed too much already. Or taxed, what was it, taxed? Yeah, taxed enough already. That was the Tea Party. That's what the T stands for. I went to a couple of the rallies. Mostly old, you know, older folks, retired. We're taxed enough already. They're racist. Look at all these racist people. I had people from California. I had some friends from California. And it was the first time I actually recognized what was going on here. But one lady texted me. She goes, you were there? Oh, I can't believe it's a part of, it's just interesting that would be a part of that group. Because all she knew was that the whole Tea Party thing was just all race. It was against Obama. So if you're against Obama, you must be racist. No, it's a policy here. He's trying to tax us more. He wants to tax and spend. We don't want more taxes. There's nothing compared to what Mamdani's doing right now. Of course, Mamdani's realizing he's not going to get the tax money he needs, and he's blaming it on everybody else because his little social programs aren't working. And of course, now they're discovering that, guess what? I think the rail system is going down again. This is like the second or third time that this has happened in a relatively short period of time because they basically just have to shut down because of funding. They can't keep things repaired. They can't keep things going. They shut down. And it's right at a time during summertime businesses that are there are going to struggle now because of this. Some are going to close. Which is this what happens when the Democrats do their little social programs and all of a sudden the next thing you know, businesses are closing because and all these people are moving. There are several billionaires in the city, in the area, who are pulling out of New York completely. Well, you're going to tax us that much? There's a thing called a Loeffler effect. I think it's Loeffler effect, Loeffling effect. There's a point where, of course, if you don't tax at all, say your taxes are zero, you'll get all kinds of commerce, but the government will make nothing. But there's all kinds of commerce. It's open market. People, you know, there's much, much more money flowing. If you tax 100%, the government's going to get zero because nobody's going to do any business. They're not going to work if everything goes to the government. They're just not going to do it unless they got something else going on the side, which happens in most Soviet countries. I should say Soviet. I mean communist countries. I grew up when the Soviet Union was the communist. That was the communist place, but I still say Soviet. But it's a communist regime, or democratic socialist. So you have that going on. And what ends up happening is there's this laughing effect. So there's a pinnacle, there's a point. And right now, I think most people who make over, is it $400,000? I think 400,000 is kind of a breaking point. I think that's where you end up only making about half. You get taxed 50%. Now, some states were worse. I think New York, you end up paying like, 55 to 60% of taxes if you're making over a certain amount. It's ridiculous. There's all kinds of ways to, you know, you got to, hopefully you can find, you know, some ways to cut your taxes and do some things with that. Some of the, what they call loopholes, the tax laws, where you can get some deductions because otherwise you're working like crazy, taking all kinds of risks and making all this money. And the state gets it, you know, gets more than half of it. How much did they contribute to it? Nothing. Well, we built the roads and built all this stuff. Everybody uses the roads. Why should one person pay disproportionately for the use of the roads? It blows my mind. Anyway, so this is what ends up happening is they want to tax people more. Well, then they end up leaving. And Mamdani's argument, and some of the people on the left, their argument is, well, no, this is the biggest economy in the world, and there's nobody's going to leave New York. It's the largest economy in the world. They're going to stay here. They can still make money. You know, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't believe billionaires or millionaires should even exist. Of course, he's going to become one because he's in office now. He's going to become a millionaire. But and it actually comes from a very wealthy family, by the way, which is kind of disingenuous about that. But what's going to end up happening is the millionaires are going to leave. The big money is going to leave, which it's already basically pulling out. There's somebody, I think, recently just said there was a $120 billion investment or something like that they were going to put into New York, and they've pulled that whole thing out. And then literally, they're not talking about it. They've done it. So he's kind of swallowing kind of hard right now with this whole thing because he realizes the effect of what's happening is not good. Not a good situation for everybody. But so there's this study that's been done. It's called the Laughing Effect. I think it's called Laughing. And there's a bell curve, and it's at the point of that top of that bell curve is where you can tax people the most. The government can get the most amount of money, and people will still do business. They'll still hang in there, still do the business because the taxation is not to the point where they're going to move out. But if you tax more than that, you start getting this. And this is what Reagan did. He pulled taxes back to just at the power curve point of the upper swing of that Laughing Effect, and the government got more money because there was more commerce going on because people could it was worth people doing business because they were going to make more money without having to pay too much tax. If you go past that point, people stop doing commerce. They're not going to work past a certain point. They're not going to work any harder because if I work that much harder, it's just going to go away anyway. It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm not going to make any more. I'm not going to do it. So it incentivizes business. That's what ends up happening in a free market society. Now, there's the problem with this is you get all this crony capitalism that starts happening, and the left is very good at this. They're out there chanting about billionaires, and they're being funded by billionaires. There's a reason for that because some of these billionaires are getting. They have the inside track to people who are in power, the big P word. That's what happens. You get these people who are cronies inside the Capitol, inside the halls of government, I should say. It looked like Warren Buffett, he'd come out and say, oh, I don't pay as much taxes as my secretary does. They can come out and make those kinds of statements and make it look like, see, I'm a good guy. I'd rather pay more taxes. They come out and they'll always say that. I'd rather pay more taxes. Well, why don't you pay more taxes? You can, nobody's stopping you from paying more taxes. Well, it's not going to make a difference if just one of us does it. I have to do it. Well, it's got to start with somebody. Why don't you go ahead and do your part? Be an example. Just do it. No, it needs to be a law. It needs to be a tax law. So they start weaseling out of that whole thing of every chance they get. It's the hypocrisy. They're just trying to cozy up to the whole idea of, hey, I'm one of the billionaires, but I'm not a bad billionaire. Pritzker's one of those, and he's governor of Illinois. He's worth like $36 billion or whatever he's worth. He acts like he's for the little guy. Yeah, he's I think he may try to make a run for president in 2028 as well, too. And we'll see how that all goes. I think there's going to be a very interesting race in 2028. We're going to see how this, once the 2026 election is over with. I personally think the Republicans may keep the House simply because people are motivated right now. They realize all we're going to hear about is impeachments the day after the election, that's all you're going to hear about is impeachments from the Democrats if they win. And all you're going to hear about from the rhinos is, see, the MAGA movement's over with. Oh, see, we're unpopular now. It can be a razor thin. And by all accounts, it's normal for the opposing party to win in the midterm. It's a normal, natural thing. If they barely win, I'd say that's more of a sign that there's a problem. But if they win, if the Republicans actually win, even by a razor thin margin, that's a huge deal. Huge, huge deal. All right, it's already been an hour. We're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to be, we'll come right back and talk about what's going to go on tomorrow with Theological Thursday. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
All right, as we ease into the rest of our day here, we're midweek on the live show here. We have tomorrow, Theological Thursday. We're going to talk about Islam. Do I want to delve into this? It's one of those things where I want to talk a little bit about the history of what I've experienced. Not necessarily. I'm not an expert on Islam at all, and I'm not an expert theologian as well, but I am going to talk tomorrow a little bit about Islam itself, what has happened, my understanding of it. That's what it's going to be about. And if people want to send a message or call in, that kind of thing, if they want to do any of that, that's fine. Feel free to ask questions or do anything before that. You can call the show, text the show, 574-651-7685. It's a hotline. Just call in, or you can go to google.com/voice and you can type in that number and leave a message or a phone call. And it'll leave a message there. It's not a live call. I'm probably not going to pick up the phone. Probably not. I mean, you never know. But I probably will let her go to the recording. And I may play your voicemail if you have a question or if you have a comment. Or I might just read it. Respond to it. But tomorrow's show is going to be, I think that's what tomorrow's show is going to be about. We're going to be talking more about that kind of thing, what's happening with Islam in general. But also what's going on with politically in Iran and how that relates to everything as well. So we're going to talk about some of those kinds of things. That's, far as I know, let's see, I think that's tomorrow because tomorrow's Thursday. It's going to be a fairly early show. It's going to be recorded, however, so it probably won't come out until after 9 o'clock or right around 9 o'clock, but, it will probably be recorded around the 7 or 8 o'clock hour in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. I'm on Eastern Standard Time here. I'm hopefully going to be able to get up early, get some things done because I've got to get out the door. And I got some animals I have to deliver. Because I got to take dogs to the little daycare kennel thing. Get treated like little pampered pets for a couple days. And then, of course, the cats. They have to go to a little cat's meow place. They've been taken care of as well. So all that stuff's got to go on. Anyway, just want to say, I guess that's all there is. Tomorrow, I'll go back. I've got to push that button. There we go. This guy's getting loud on me here. I was kind of, well, the band's freaking out on me. Probably should figure out how to get out of this show. Anyway, that's all I got, I think. That's all I've got. Hope you have a great rest of your week. I will talk to you on tomorrow morning. See ya.